the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content.
I'm super pumped about this episode because I have Noah Guthrie joining me. Y'all probably recognize him. He was a star of Glee. He joined the cast the 7th season. We talk all about that. He's also a YouTube sensation. He's had over 15 million, or was it 25 million views? So many views on his YouTube page. We talk about everything, and he has a new album coming out, The Valley. It's so inspiring. I cannot wait for y'all to hear this interview. Here he is, Noah Guthrie.
What's up?
Oh, a lot. Lots of press.
Lots of
fun
press.
Things. Oh, yeah.
You've had a big life to only be 23.
yeah, hopefully it gets bigger and bigger.
So I want to start with like a few little rapid fire questions.
All right.
So just tell me the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Okay. Ellen.
Oh my gosh. Incredibly thankful to be on her website that one time.
Tell me what happened with that, because that's sort of what got you going in a way.
Yeah,
you're a YouTube phenom.
Sure.
You are. I
started on YouTube, and the way I got started was I posted a cover song of like my favorite U2 song, which is Where the Streets Have No Name. And when I posted that, I did it just to do it. Like, I wasn't expecting anything. I wasn't trying to do anything with it.
So you were just putting up a YouTube song because
yeah,
you wanted to put it up?
Pretty much. And actually, I think my dad just kind of decided to put it up, you know, without me knowing.
Your dad's been a big advocate for you.
He has, my whole life.
That's very lucky.
Which is good in a dad, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But we ended up putting the video online. And just a researcher at the Ellen DeGeneres show liked it and wanted to put it on their website. They were having a competition for when she still had a record label. I don't think that's a thing anymore.
Like to see who could be the next big star
yeah,
on Ellen's label?
Right. And I ended up winning the competition, and then nothing happened. So we were just like, okay.
Did you go on her show?
No. See, another thing, we had been scheduled to actually do the show, like, 2 or 3 times, I think, and it just always something never lined up. But no, we were super ready. I'm still super ready.
So to this day, you have not gone on Ellen?
No, but I was on her website, and that really is, though, that competition got everything going. That's when we kind of decided, okay, well, now I have a bunch of people looking at me. And, you know, it just gave me traction that I didn't think I'd get.
Did it grow your fan base being on that show?
Yeah, I would say it started it, just because after that video, it was literally the first one I posted.
The first one you posted gets
yeah.
you to Ellen?
Yeah.
You were touched by the divine. Because you're to be 23 and to have had the things happen to you, which we're going to get into, obviously you've been on Glee.
Super
blessed.
You have
25 million YouTube views
yeah.
on a LMFAO song, which you yeah. weren't even planning on doing for real. Land you a spot on Glee. I mean, your life is so blessed.
Yeah, very much. I do what I can with what I'm given. I've been given some awesome stuff, so it's been great.
Okay, so after Ellen, how old were you when that happened?
Oh my gosh, 17, I think, 17, 18. Yeah, so after Ellen, after that website, little cameo there, just decided to start posting more covers, and that just kind of fueled the fan base a little more and more and more, and then eventually I had the Sexy I Know It cover, and things kind of blew up from there.
So we got to pause on that for a minute.
All right.
Okay, so you're now, you have a YouTube page going. I was going to ask you, and you said this earlier, you didn't set out to be like, I want to be a YouTube star.
No.
Here's how I'm going to lay it out. I'm going to post a video every week. I'm going to try to like get hooked up with other YouTube stars to grow. That was not your agenda.
No. Honestly, like from the get-go, my main thing has always been writing music and wanting to perform original music. But when we started, or when I started the YouTube covers, it was the perfect way to get my name out there because out there typing in Noah Guthrie original music ever. So they
I did today.
Well, now you do.
but back then, no one even knew to look for it.
Yeah, so they were only, you know, you're typing in whatever the biggest pop songs are. So I would try to kind of, you know, take those pop songs and rework them and make them my own. And it was a good way to build a fan base. And I've built such a loyal fan base from them. And I don't think I expected that. I didn't expect them to stick around as long as they have. And they've been great. And, you know, yeah, it's when you get a viral video, everything changes. It's weird.
So you said that a lot of times when you're posting YouTube videos, you would do several takes, you would, like, reshoot it, make sure it was right. But for whatever reason, with this one particular, the LMFAO, I'm Sexy and I Know It, you were like, okay, I've been wanting to post this video for a while. Mm-hmm. You've been thinking about an arrangement, but you did like a one-take thing, right?
Yeah, it was.
And you were even like lagging. Like you hadn't posted one in a while.
I was
pressure on you.
Yeah, what really happened is I don't know if it was just some kind of break. I guess I had gone on a summer break or something. And I hadn't posted a video in about 3 weeks, which if you're trying to build something on YouTube, that's a no-no. You can't do that.
You have to post every week?
That's what you want to do, like, but most now probably post 2 or 3 times a week. I just can't. I've never been able to do that. But anyway, you know, I'd been off for about 3 weeks, and I think I was at my dad's house, and I had been playing this little blues riff, and for some reason I sang like wiggle, 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 yeah, over the top of it, and he was like, you should do that, and I said no.
Like, not that this isn't a serious song, but you were doing like more serious songs.
Yeah,
that
you know,
your artistry.
I've
type.
Always kind of liked the more, you know, the deeper singer-songwriter style of stuff. And but this, you know, I think a couple days after that, I was still hadn't put anything up, and I was feeling very guilty. So just decided to do it, you know, as kind of a goofy like joke to myself, you know.
But you changed the arrangement. You kind of made your own.
Yeah,
style.
It is absolutely not the LMFAO arrangement. You know, it's just your standard, really just a standard blues riff with the Sexy I Know It lyrics over the top and just kind of placed in different weird ways. But yeah, it was a rare video that was like one take. And I went to bed after I posted it, and it was blowing up the next morning. So
next morning you woke up like 50,000 hit. So was that the song that was happening at that time? Like that was everywhere?
Honestly, I think it was. I guess technically in the pop world, it was kind of old at the point. Like it was like it was at least 6 or 7 months old, which, you know, the cycle just kind of goes and goes. So, I didn't think it was going to get that much traction, but it was just something to post, and it was something kind of different, you know. And I guess that's what caught people's ear. But yeah, it blew up the next morning, and then eventually I was on to the Today Show and just doing a bunch of different press, and it was nuts.
So when you go on the Today Show after you become a YouTube phenom, is the topic like YouTube phenom joins us on the Today Show?
I think it was more of like I feel like they kind of hit the nail on the head, honestly, because I think they really marketed it more as like, you know, awkward high school kid has viral video and is on the show today to share his voice or whatever. And it turned out really, really well. They treated me so, so good on the Today Show, and really just couldn't say enough good things about that crew. They were so, so awesome. And to be, you know, like 18 and like, I loved Matt Lauer for so long and still do. And like, and Ann Curry was on there when I was on there. But you know, I've grown up watching the Today Show since I was a kid, and it was really, really cool. It was unbelievable.
What is that like to really have overnight success? Because it's not that you weren't always talented and weren't working towards it, but literally to go to bed one night, as you say, self-proclaimed awkward high school kid, and wake up the next day and be a YouTube phenom going on the Today Show. What is that like to? And then here comes Glee, the producers calling you because they want you to join the hottest show on TV. What is that like?
To the first half of that question, I would say scary, a little bit scary.
Were you prepared for it?
No, never. I don't think I wouldn't be prepared for it today if it happened. But it is such a whirlwind kind of event, a viral video or anything that's like an overnight, you know, overnight success is such a it's like lightning in a bottle, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can't just recreate it over and over. And that's what I kept getting that question after Sexy I Know It happened. Was like, well, how do I, you know, people would write in, how do I make a viral video? How do I? I don't know. Like, I don't, you know, there's, I don't know a formula for it. But no, I mean, it's really, I would say it was scary and exciting at the same time. You know, it was my first time, like, first time I went to New York City and you know, got to go around there and see all the big buildings and beautiful lights. And
what did you think when you saw all this?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing, but also like being from such a small town, it like just overloaded me a little bit. But no, it was, you know, no one else had had that experience in my close circle of friends, so it was just weird to kind of have this event happen that no one else had. You know, I couldn't relate to anyone else.
Like, did people change around you when you came back?
High school got easier.
It did? Was it hard before?
I wouldn't say it was hard, but I was definitely, you know, I wasn't like the most popular kid. But it was much easier when people like started hearing what I'm actually passionate about doing, which is singing.
And saw you for your talents and your heart.
Yeah. So, and you know, I had some friends that kind of knew what I did already. I was in, you know, a band in high school and we played around town. But, you know, once stuff started picking up for me, yeah, of course, like people get a little nicer, they get, you know, a little more cozy, but which is fine. But yeah, it's a weird thing to have happen to you, honestly.
If you were to sum up high school, how would you describe high school? Because to me, high school is such an awkward time for me. Like, I don't know who ever likes high school.
Yeah.
There's so much, it's such a weird phase of life, you know?
Yeah, I guess if I had to sum up my high school experience, I started out band geek, went to choir geek, kind of got more into like just the arts side of things and just performance in general. But you know, I'm a bigger guy. I was bigger in high school, so like I was the chubby, super shy kid trying to figure it out and figure out my friends. And I definitely, like, in 11th grade, I think that's when I kind of figured out where my real friend group was.
And who, where did you feel most at home?
Definitely, like, more with the art kids, or just anyone that was doing, you know, whether it was visual art or performance art or anything like that. I just kind of clicked with them. Because you can still be weird, and it's okay. You know?
Totally.
But, you know, it's what I said before. When I started singing in public, or when people just started hearing the music or whatever, it just got easier, you know. I think I was saying this to my brother the other day. I saw somebody in town that I went to school with, and you know, we said what's up and how you doing and stuff. But I was just thinking about, like, we in high school, me and this other guy just ran in such different crowds. But the one thing that, like, actually brought us together was music. And we had such just similar tastes in music that we really shouldn't have been friends at all. But we were totally really, really great friends. And I saw him in town the other day, and it lasts, you know. Like, that connecting thing lasts. But, you know, it was a crazy thing. And I think being that kind of kid in high school kind of helped me with the character on Glee, because it was very much the same.
I was going to ask you, did your life, actually, did you end up living your life in Glee?
Yeah, kind of. Minus the really bad wardrobe. I don't mean bad as in the wardrobe department was bad. I mean, the clothes I had to wear were just crazy. I got it. I understood the role. Roderick was...
Tell me about your role. Tell me about Roderick.
He was Noah Guthrie in high school. No,
so who is Noah Guthrie in high school? Who is Roderick?
He was just, you know, he's. I think I played, he was a senior. So he was a senior who still hadn't.
Were you a senior when you were a senior?
Were
y'all right around the same age?
No. I guess I was 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're just a little older.
I was 20. Yeah, because I had my 21st on the set.
Okay.
But Roderick was senior in high school, trying to find like his group of friends before he graduated, who kind of had a very like soulful voice and kind of an old school look at music, which is also me. And he was just, you know, he shy and doesn't really know how to like start conversations very well, me. But you know, it was easy to play him, one, because the writers were so good at matching the character up with
did they write him first, or did they get to know you and write him as
I think
you?
They probably wrote most of the first script without me, just to have something to go from. And then once I started reading the lines, they pretty much just kind of rewrite if they need to. And I think they rewrote some of it. But yeah, you know, the writers, I think were one of my favorite groups of people on the show were just the writers that would come in and hang out on set, because they would have to hang out with you to get to know you, to see how you would say the lines that they think you're going to say. So, yeah, I think they did a great job of just making it pretty close to me, so I didn't have to act as much. And that was especially good for me because I've never acted before, so that was completely new.
So when you get called by the producers, because do they find your video? Is that how they found you on YouTube? Or how do they find you? And
what
then what are you thinking? Because you're like, oh my gosh, I've never acted before.
Right.
I'm about to join the biggest show on TV.
I was on the road just playing music. And I had like a little filler date in between two main shows. I played this little house show in San Francisco. And it was a tiny show, like 10, 15 people tops, because that's all you could fit in this guy's apartment.
Oh, it was an apartment show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it was just like a quick way to make a few extra bucks. But anyway, I'd played, you know, a little concert for them in their courtyard. And one of the guys that had attended, his name was Jason. I think his name is Jason Rock, maybe. But he, I think, had been on The X Factor or something like that. But also, he was, the next day, he was going to go to L.A. and judge some kind of talent competition with a couple other judges. One of the other judges was a girl named Alex, who was looking to help cast for the last season of Glee. And I think she said to him, "I'm looking for a certain guy for this role. We can't seem to find him."
What were they looking for?
They were looking for a shy, chubby kid with the voice of Otis Redding, is what she said. As far as the voice of Otis Redding, I don't know.
Your voice is out of this world.
Thanks.
So huge.
But no, he. I think, you know, once he heard what she was looking for, he was just like, "I think I saw him in San Francisco last night, so here's his number, you know, if y'all want to connect." And you know, we didn't expect anything out of it. He contacted us again and just told us, you know, "Hey, you might get a call from Alex at casting at Glee." And we didn't really think anything of it. And then sure enough, we get a call about a week or so later. And, you know, at first I wasn't too keen on doing it, just because wasn't looking for acting. I wasn't, not on my radar at all. And I was probably just a little concerned that I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, did fear creep in?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you scared of what if I fail, or what if I, like, they make me look like a, not they, but what I look like a fool?
No, exactly. And, you know, when your music is your main thing, and, like, I want to be known as a songwriter, you know, we were talking a little bit about this earlier, just about, like, I didn't set out to be a YouTuber, so I didn't set out to be an actor either. So, you know, I feel like you always kind of want to really think about the choices you make and like how far you're stepping out of what you really want to do.
Do you believe God opens doors for us, though, that maybe,
for sure,
maybe are, that we would never expect, but they're actually getting us where we want to go?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because Glee was a door that I didn't see at all.
And think about how many hundreds of, probably thousands of people would cut off their left arm for that role.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah, no, and you know, I had to
hand it to you.
I had to think about it a ton, and eventually decided to at least just send in a self-tape audition and you know, just see what happens, because, you know,
what
most
is your thought process
of
going through then? Like, through there? Like, what is the fear? What does fear look like in your head at that moment?
I mean, honestly, I guess it was really just the fear of, I think, just the fear of the unknown and the fear of looking like an idiot, honestly. Like, you know, and that's so ridiculous, because that shouldn't matter.
But it's such a normal thought we all have.
Well, yeah, of course.
How did you decide to be brave and take that leap? And then what did you learn from overcoming that fear and taking that leap? What was the payoff?
I decided by having many conversations with family members and friends, and then kind of reevaluating what it meant. And like you just said, I kept having this, you know, well, there's a million people out there that would die for this role, you know, have been starving in LA for years. And I don't know, I just felt like it was okay to do, like at least try it. And then once I got the part, you know, I sent in a self-tape, and then I eventually had to go out there and audition in person for Ryan Murphy. And I completely thought I screwed it up. Like I just was not confident in the performance I gave. And I don't get nervous really, but I was just super nervous in front of them, and Ryan Murphy looked like
cold?
He hated me.
Were they cold? Were they icy?
He just looked so stoned.
Did you like
just
pay like, for? Yeah. Like, was it a panel of judges just staring at you with their
yeah,
arms crossed?
Yeah, well, it was like two of the writers, the creator of the show, Ryan Murphy, and then like a you know another executive producer. All
and
just
they're
like
not smiling.
This, just.
It's like they're
the
like,
whole time.
It's like they think you just are terrible and they're
yeah.
bored, but they're kind of doing that probably to psych you out, right?
I have no idea why they do it. I think they're so in their heads trying to see you as the character that they have created.
Okay, that makes sense.
So they're just really trying to, they're picking you apart, right?
Yes.
And that's what they have to do. But and I got warned, like the casting agents told me, like, hey, we know you've never done this kind of thing before. They're going to look like they hate you. Like they just don't pay any attention to that. And I was like, okay. And then I just completely paid attention to it. And it just threw me off. But anyway, I thought that I had really messed it up. And then the next day I get the call as I'm getting on the plane to come home that I got the part and that I should go home and pack up everything I have and come out to LA in like 2 days. So we had like a 2-day turnaround.
So you started filming like 2 days later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you all of a sudden become an actor on a hit show when you never acted before? Like, what's going through your head in that 2-day period? And then what do you do the first day on set? Are you nervous? Because now you're working with superstars like Lea Michele.
Right.
Who's
yeah.
one of like the hottest stars in Hollywood.
Yep.
And now she's your cast member. Not
yeah.
to mention the whole rest of the cast. Are you like overwhelmed?
Definitely. My first day of shooting was so... It was like completely just jumping in the deep end. There was no warm up at all because the first scene I had was a scene in the library, and literally all of the senior cast and me, and that's it.
So it's like everyone who's been doing this for six mm-hmm. years, who are veterans, pros.
Yep.
And you are. Oh, I'm like having a panic attack.
Yeah, it was.
Right now.
It was terrifying.
Were they nice to you?
Oh, very. Everyone was super nice, and
you
know, everyone knew that like they're not going to come in there and like you know try to scare you.
Because mm-hmm. they wanted you to succeed.
Yeah, they want you to have a good time. They want you to, you know, they need a good show. So, no, everyone was fantastic and very welcoming. But yeah, the first day was nuts, and like in the 2 days leading up to it, I wasn't thinking about it as much because I was memorizing, and like
it's almost good that you were kind of stressed out.
Yeah,
had a lot to
yeah,
work
and
on.
You know, I was like, okay, get to your hotel, like, figure out time to work on this, like make sure you're not an idiot. But anyway, the first day I get thrown into that scene, and we shoot for 3 or 4 hours, and you know it's just the same thing over and over. Which I had no idea how TV works.
So tell me how it works. How did that go?
It's a lot of hurry up and wait. It's just tons of you get there at a certain time, and then usually you're gonna wait for another half hour, an hour before you're really doing anything. But you know, you're also doing like marking rehearsals and just kind of going over stuff with the director. And also my first encounter with a director was great. I can't thank Brad Beaker enough for being such a warm, like inviting person. Cause you just, you know, you hear stories and stuff of just all, you know, how crazy the TV business can be, but he was very inviting and just very like, this is what I'm asking of you. You know, you do it in your own way. And it all worked out very well. But we shot there for about 4 hours, and then they wrapped me, and I got to go back to the hotel and just, you know, chill for the rest of the night.
So what are you thinking the day that you wrap, that you go back to the hotel, and this whole thing happens to you? You're just in your house in South Carolina making YouTube videos, and now all of a sudden, what, a month later?
Yeah.
You're doing your own shows, your own music, and now, like, you're on Glee.
Yeah. So when I wrapped the first day, I was wrapped for about an hour, and then they called me again and said, hey, we're doing this dance number later tonight, and we want to throw you into that. And that was even worse because I don't act, and I definitely don't dance that much.
I cannot commend you enough for going for it. This has to be a whirlwind.
Well, at that point, I had no choice. It's like there's a contract that had been signed. Okay. So
you're like, okay, here I am. This is my destiny.
Yeah, but they were awesome, and then I met the dance instructors and stuff, and they were fantastic. And just like showed me, like, you just got to do this. Like, we're going to pair you up with this girl. She's going to – you just follow her lead the whole time. Just act like you're in high school having fun. it was a crazy first day, and I think we weren't wrapped until like 12:30, that night, and see you at 7 a.m. in the morning. So it's a crazy existence. And especially like when you're shooting, on like the lot, like on the Paramount lot or whatever, you know, studio the TV show has, when you're in like a soundstage, which is essentially just a huge warehouse building that just, you know, converts into a bunch of different kinds of sets. You're just in a box all day for 14 hours. So it's just, it's weird. It's very strange.
It's like, what is life?
Yeah. And
do you start thinking, like, seriously, like, what is this?
Yeah, well, I mean, me and, like, the other four new guys that got, I shouldn't say new guys, there's two girls.
Newer, not the senior cast.
But they were, you know, we all got brought in together. And I don't think any of us had done TV before. One of us had, but
so was that kind of comforting that there was at least a few of y'all together? Did y'all clean together?
We
white on rice.
Yeah, we were. We basically spent like every night together, and you know, and that was when people asked me, like, one of my favorite things about the show is literally that I just made like a whole group of really close friends.
Because it's almost like going to war together. You're thrown into the situation. Truly. And I mean, obviously not like as life and death, but you're thrown into the situation and you don't know what you're doing. You just have to stick with your brothers and sisters.
That it really is. It's very much. I mean, you all just kind of bond over the things that you don't know how to do. Or the things that you're scared of.
Did y'all give each other support and build each other up?
For sure, yeah. And I think we all kind of needed it. I did, at least. But, you know, it's weird. But you also have those days where you're just like, I'm in Hollywood, California, shooting on an international TV show that's, you know, won Emmys and all sorts of stuff.
Why do you think this happened to you? Why do you think you were blessed in this way? Because you've been touched, like, you've been blessed. Things have seemed to big huge things have happened for you without you trying for them. Why do you think this happened for you this way?
I have no idea. I really don't. I don't have the slightest clue, because like I said earlier, there are people that have been just slaving away in, you know, what I'm sure is much like the music industry, where you just kind of feel like you're beating your head against the wall sometimes to finally break through. And why that got dropped in my lap, I don't know. I mean, they liked my music, they liked the voice, which is great. But I don't know. I have no idea.
Do you feel like you have a responsibility now that you do have such a gift and you have been, in a way, like, you have been chosen to have a platform and to be noticed for your talent? Do you feel like this is your calling? Do you feel like is there a higher purpose, but do you have some sort of higher calling with it?
Yes. I mean, you know, there are, and I feel like this is with any industry or any job or anything, you know, there are certain days where it just doesn't feel like it's working, or you don't feel like you're on the right path or anything. But I think at the end of every one of those days, it's so apparent to me that this is what I do because I have to. I write music because I have to. It's not, I don't have a choice.
You really feel that way?
Kind of, yeah. It's, and I feel that way because like at the end of the day, I don't, and a bunch of people say this, I don't care about what, you know, what kind of accolades I get, or you know, TV show spot, or even chart listings or anything like that. I just don't care about
really?
It.
Really? You're doing it for the gift, for the talent. It I has do to it, come out.
I do it for the songs. I like writing
wow.
songs. It's
wow.
That's what I do. And if it's...
that's was, amazing. Not
yeah,
everyone
you know,
has that outlook look on it.
Well, you know, I was saying this the other day. You know, if like 5-10 years from now, I'm still writing music, making that my living, whether that is with me performing them, or, you know, someone else has cut one of my songs, or it gets on TV shows, or whatever it is, as long as it's my living and I'm able to, like, live the kind of life I want to live, then I'm fine with that. I just don't,
wow.
you know, it's about the song. It's about the songs for me, and that's it.
Wow. That's
yeah.
so inspiring. Okay, we're going to have to wrap up.
Okay.
So I want to talk to you about your new album. Really
yes.
fast. Tell me about this, The Valley. And you said something, one of the words in The Valley is, save your strength for the valley, the morning soon to come. Your soul is waking up.
Mm.
And what inspired that line, and what inspired that song? Because that is deep
so
and wise.
When I wrote that song, I wrote it with a wonderful singer-songwriter here in Nashville named Amy Stroop. And we've been writing together for a while now. And I think that was was our second write together. And we wrote that song. And I think when we wrote it, it was very much about, like, you know, like the valley of a relationship, like where you have, you know, come so far with this person, but something has gone wrong and you're trying to kind of get back to where you were. But now, in the making of this album and just in the last year or so of just, you know, trying to make music work and stuff, the valley has kind of come to symbolize what it is to make your passion, your living, or just do what you love in general. So, you know, for me, it's you know, we all kind of start in a valley and then we work our way out. And, you know, I think that line that you mentioned is for me, it's just, it's kind of a, it's like, you know, just someone yelling at you, just like, just hold on, it's going to be fine, you know, because, you know, on your worst days, you want to give up and you don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need to get a steady job, you know, but I can't do that. And
you always known you had this talent since a young age? You had a very supportive father who's
yeah.
here with us today, which is amazing.
Yes, he is.
But he's encouraged you even sometimes it feels like mm-hmm. when you weren't even wanting to do it yourself.
Right.
He's known your talent.
I without going too long-winded here, I consider myself extremely fortunate that I have had people throughout my life that have told me you can do this for a living and you can, it's
you're not
totally
crazy.
Normal. Exactly. And lots of kids where I grow up have enormous amounts of talent, but they just don't have that support system. So that's something I'd like to see happen more often. But yeah, I've had wonderful support from my family, from my friends, my teachers, and they've always just told me, you know, if you want to do this, you can do it. So I want to
wow.
do it, and I'm going to keep doing it until it doesn't work anymore, I guess.
That's amazing. Okay,
yeah.
Two more questions, then we really have to wrap
okay.
up. Everyone's looking. What's Lea Michele like?
She's great. No, she is.
Tell me something that no one would know about her.
Oh. She tends to talk about poop. yeah, it's funny. She, you know, she's one of the prettiest girls ever, and you know, but she just kind of has like a kind of a crude sense of humor sometimes, and it's funny. It's hilarious.
I love that.
Yeah.
I just that makes you love her more.
Yeah. No. Honestly, everyone on the cast is fantastic. They're all like were amazing to me and welcoming to everybody, and yeah, I feel lucky to have been a part of something that cool.
Okay, and I like to end all my interviews with Leave Your Light. So give me some inspiration, how you've been inspired or how you want to inspire people.
I think I guess I'll give it in the terms of kind of advice maybe.
Perfect.
if you are wanting to do music for a living, or really any kind of art form for a living, just know that it is a long game. You know, I know that the overnight success story is never overnight. It's like 7 years, 8 years. But it is. It's, you have to be patient, and you have to just be true to yourself. And, you know, I'm trying to do that. 23, have a lot to learn. But so far, I would just say, if you want to do this, you can do it, and just work at it and be patient, and it'll happen.
I love that. Yep. Okay, so now Noah Guthrie is going to play us a couple songs from his highly anticipated album that's being released June 23rd, The Valley. Noah Guthrie, oh my gosh, I can't believe we get to hear you in real life right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Teal Audio's newest speaker line, the Aurora Lifestream speakers, are designed to fit seamlessly into your home with its wide range of connectivity. To check out the latest speaker line, go to tealaudio.com. Okay, so tell me about the first song that you're going to sing from your new album, The Valley.
This first song is called Love You Now, and it's just kind of about when you're going through a rough patch with somebody and you're trying to kind of revitalize the relationship that you had, I guess.
Okay, take it away.
You've been crying all the way from Alabama, dreaming with your head against the glass. We set out to step foot in California, hoping it would save this life we have. Oh, darling, I don't know, it all changed. I want to find a way to love you now. If your heart is really breaking, then you've got to show. On the white walls of you, I swear you used to hold me like I was dying, but our love is dying too. Darling, I don't know where it all changed. I wanna find a way to love you now. If your heart is really breaking, then you've got to show me how. I want to find a way to love you now. Love you now. Love you now. Done holding on to fights I can't remember, blaming you for all our broken things. Stay out here, you look so full of color, and there's no place that I would rather be. 'Cause I wanna find a way. Thank you.
We're going to have one more. That is amazing. Your voice is amazing. Your stage presence is amazing. The song's amazing. Okay, so tell us about your last song you're going to sing for us.
This last song is called...
This last song is called The Valley, and it's the title track for the new record. And this song is for everybody. This is a song that if you've ever felt like you're in the valley or you're going through a super rough time trying to do what you love, this is for you. This is for us.
My eyes are filled with tears. Oh. That is like spiritual. That was a spiritual experience. Thank you so much for sharing your gift with me. Thank you so much for sharing your gift with us. Noah Guthrie, you have a new album, The Valley, coming out. That was the title track to the song. So y'all make sure you look for it. It'll be everywhere. Where can we find it?
iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all those places.
Everywhere that you can find music, you can find it. Thank you so much, Noah. You're amazing.
Caroline. She's the queen of talking. Hey, what's up?
I hope you guys loved hearing from Noah Guthrie. Is he not so inspiring? What a great story and life he's lived so far to be so young. Next week, I have Jillian Jacklin joining me. She is the new hottest thing in country music. Her songs have already gotten 5 million streams on Spotify. She's blowing up. She's so inspiring. She's been doing this since she was like 9, and her story will just blow you away. So y'all get excited. Jillian Jacklin is next week. Y'all don't forget to subscribe.